You got me? Hello? Yes? Sorted? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. And your Advent word for today is around, and that's the word we're going to be thinking about in our service today. It's quite an interesting, as you look at people, how many things happen all around. So I don't know whether you feel surrounded or abandoned, but that's the sort of background of where my thoughts were going today. So I want to first of all take you to heaven and hear these words. I looked and heard. I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands. 10,000 times 10,000. They were around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen, amen." In glory around the throne, they worship. And our first song is all about creatures of the world worshipping. And I knew we'd have a few youngsters, but we're all kind of young at heart, aren't we? Or are we? And I thought we don't have any books at Carey, so we're all free. And in this song, we've got some repeated lines that go, "Oh, praise who? Him." We praise one another, we praise our children. Don't feel you have to join in, but the words, "Oh, praise him," comes up quite a lot. And also, "Hallelujah." Yeah. So if you feel you want to really enter into worship this morning, these lines come up in two of our songs. I've always been when I go to these conventions and you have people signing worship, it just seems to bring it all to a new level where you see people completely entering in to God's presence. But with all the creatures of our God and King, with all the folk at Carey, let's sing and worship together, please. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! praise you, Heavenly Father, here in this place today. We thank you that your creation around us declares your glory, and we can see it, and we can appreciate it. And we thank you for your love that has been brought down to mankind in the life of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you loved the world so much that you gave your Son, who would declare your glory, who would show us the Father, who would show us the kingdom of heaven, who would declare your truths and your power upon earth. We thank you that we can come into your holy presence just as we are. We love you, Lord, and we long to know more of you in our lives. We're sorry for so often we let you down with the things we say and we do, for the way that we live, through the times of silence when we should speak. And yet we are assured in your word that we can come to you even when we're messed up. Whether on the high tops of joy or in the depths of despair, your arms are open wide and you bid us to come. And so here and now, Lord, as we bow in your presence, we gather here to worship you, we gather here to draw near to you, we gather here to lift up the name of Jesus. We seek more of you in our lives, and we pray that by the power of your Spirit you'd brood amongst us, you'd touch our lives afresh this day, that we would have a fresh encounter with you, that you'd perhaps challenge us, chastise us, but most importantly, meet with us where we are, that we might be transformed because we've spent this time together with one another, but most importantly with you. Receive our worship, we pray, as we pray to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to share in prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You sing, I just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say, I love you. Let's sing together. I'm going to read to you. I was just looking at my notes to see what I was going to do next. I'm going to read to you from John's Gospel, chapter 8, for starters today, and then we'll have an Old Testament story. In this story, there's a lady that's surrounded. And I've already mentioned the word around. We can feel surrounded by all sorts of things. Can be a positive thing, can be a negative thing. This lady was surrounded, and it was not a pleasant place for her to be. Hear these words from John's Gospel, chapter 8. It says, at dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But saying nothing, he bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin. What an amazing encounter there with this woman and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we never get ourselves feel people pointing the finger at us or even point the finger at others. Everybody's now looking at the floor. When was the last time you felt in a situation, whether it was an accuser or being accused? And what this wonderful encounter shows us is that really, yes, we need to acknowledge wrong, but we need to love one another and seek to do what God has called us to be. The support network around people is so important. And yet these people were not prepared to help this woman or encourage her, but just point the finger at her. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you. He doesn't condemn us. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. I don't know if anyone here this morning is feeling that there are things in their lives that they can never forgive, never forget, never be forgiven for. But God says, come to me as you are. I do not condemn you, but go and leave your life of sin. Before the throne of God, we have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. If God does not condemn, who are we? So as we perhaps in our minds think of individuals who have harmed us, who this Christmas time would really benefit from a loving handshake, and a welcome. Remember that Jesus doesn't condemn us. He reaches out to us in love so much that he died for us. And as we rejoice in that truth, we're going to sing our next song, which is Before the Throne of God Above. Thank you. So as we return to prayer, here are a few more words from Revelation. It says in the last book of the Bible, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Heavenly Father, we thank you that at the throne of grace all are welcome. We thank you for this wonderful provision for the whole of mankind to be restored, to be reconciled, to be set right in their relationship with you. We thank you for your wonderful love. And yet as we look around us at the world, there is so much darkness still. So many places where people are lonely, who people are fearful, where people are overwhelmed. Done to them, or people who they thought loved them and cared for them. We look further afield at places where there is war, where there are disasters, where there are people being so evil. Lord, we know that thou art a God of love, and we call to love one another, and yet this is so far from so many people's lives. So in our prayers here this morning, as we reflect and rejoice in your love for us and the friends and loved ones around us, we pray for the lonely. We pray for those struggling, those feeling abandoned and neglected, whether close to home or further afield. There are perhaps names that are coming into our minds as we think on these things. Lord, we pray you'd show us how we can share your love in the lives of those individuals of which we're thinking. In this wonderful time of Christmas where people are rejoicing and partying, and Lord, you know the hearts. And for many, it's a painful time, not a happy time, when they consider people that are no longer around in this world, who once they enjoyed fun and friendship with. Where there are gaps around the family table at Christmas, where perhaps people are now celebrating Christmas alone, remembering times past. Oh Lord, you were born in a stable amongst poverty, and the message was given to the angel, to the shepherds, the outcasts. So we pray you'd break through into the lives of these people at this time. And help us as a church and a family here to be aware of those around us and to reach out with your love. We think of those at this time who are poorly. We thank you for the people that work in our hospitals and care homes to look after people who are unable to look after themselves, who need extra care. There'll be many people who are working this Christmas time and won't be able to spend that time with their families. And we, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them and all who work to serve the needs. We pray for all those in our schools who will be doing nativity plays and learning about the birth of the Saviour of the world, that even through these activities people will encounter your Spirit and their lives be changed. And in the quietness, Lord, we bring our own personal prayers, knowing that you hear and that you answer in accordance with your holy will. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. May we transport this message, Heavenly Father, into the lives of all those we've thought of in our prayers and make a difference this Christmas as we share your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought we'd have one carol today, and the carol I've chosen for today is While Shepherds Watched, because the glory shone around. You got it. Let's sing. Our youngsters, we pray for those that minister to them and the parents as they seek to bring them up to know your love in their lives. Do bless them, Lord, and reveal yourself to them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got my little visual aid now. I was going to do that now. Why? But they've gone, but you can use it. It probably would have been a bit mean to give a little child a sweetie and a bauble that they can't get out. Have you ever felt like you were in a bauble? Maybe you don't get in my head. But I wonder how that sweetie in the bauble, if it had feelings, might feel. There's two ways to look at a bauble. Sorry?
Isolated.
Isolated, thank you. Isolated. Trapped. Safe. Lonely. Protected. Good words, isn't it? Sorry?
Exposed.
Yes, it's an open bauble. If it was covered, it might be better. Exposed is a good one. Then you wouldn't see one in it, but I'll have to rattle it, wouldn't I? Sorry?
Is it wrapped?
Only in sugar. It's a fruit pastel. Well, it's just a thing in the bauble, really. I was trying to wonder what to think about. There are other things that I might pass around later. Or I could pass them around now. Because as we're thinking of being surrounded or having things around us, please be aware these are mixed. There are allergies. And I won't be responsible if you pick a nutty one. The children have gone now, so they can't pass them around. Come on, Darren, can you be a big boy for us today? Pass them around for me. We're thinking, you don't have to eat it now, you just have to think about it. We're thinking about being surrounded, having things all around us, And it's interesting, we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. We can feel isolated and alone, or we can feel protected and safe. We can feel trapped, or we can feel secure. And now you're all rummaging through the sweetie box. Will they last? Whose will last to the end of the service? This is the question. At least you haven't got to sing for a while. When we are isolated, you have to be very careful where you go for advice. Or when you're on your own, or when you're in a different situation, we can feel in a bubble. Also, I've been to London this week, and I felt as if I went to a different world. So different. So I wasn't in a bubble as such, but it felt like it. Did it really happen? Because it was so different, getting on the train and going down there. And I was with friends, good friends, because I didn't even bother to put the postcode in my sat nav. I just thought, oh well, everybody seems to know where they're going, and so I just switched it on and put one letter in, W, and a place came up with the word chapel. I thought, well, that'll do. But I was in good company, so I thought, well, Darren's going that way, perhaps I'll follow him rather than sat nav. Good job I did, because my sat nav had brought up Whitechapel and we were headed for Westminster Chapel. Had I paid more attention to what I was typing in and dug a bit deeper, then I would have found out the proper directions to the proper place. But depending on our situation and our circumstances and our surroundings, we perhaps look on life a little bit differently. If you're in a situation and you simply feel safe and secure, then you trust all the people around you to look after you. But like the woman in our story, if you feel under attack, then you're going to have a different mindset as to how you look at life. Well, if I'd been on my own in London, I would have paid a lot more attention to what I had put in my phone as to where I was going. Thank you very much. I won't eat that just now. And so the story I wanted to draw your attention to today, although I've already read from the New Testament, I love these Old Testament events. I think we can learn so much. And so if you have a Bible, I haven't asked Keith to put it on the screen because I wanted to talk through it. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. And this happens after a situation where an axe head had floated, which is a miracle in itself. But look at a situation where there was somebody that was surrounded. Now, you can be surrounded for all sorts of reasons. You can feel surrounded because the world is busy and bright and light, but you feel dark and dull. You can feel overwhelmed because everybody else seems happy and jolly and gay and bright, and you're like, oh, but my life's not like that right now. You can feel surrounded when you see all the shops goodies that you want to buy and provide for your family, but you open your wallet and there's not enough in there to give what you'd like to give. You can feel overwhelmed and surrounded by all sorts of things. These people were physically surrounded in our story today. Let's see what we can learn from this. It says, there was a king at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set my camp up in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard. Hang on a minute. How come Elisha knew what the king was planning? Because God had told him. Because he had a good connection with his heavenly Father. Because he was seeking good counsel in a good place. Since he was taking notice of somebody who he knew was near where he was going. So we ended up at Westminster Chapel, not Whitechapel, in London. He had counsel. He looked for the good place for his counsel. Where do we go for our counsel? This man of God, Elisha, was in tune with his heavenly Father, and God spoke with him and encouraged him and directed him. The king of Aram didn't get it. And it tells us that he was enraged. And he was looking to see in his camp who was betraying him. "None of us," they said. "But Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." Wow, what a connection he must have had with God to be able to have that insight into the world around. And yet we can, if we talk to God. It's the same God that worked with Elisha who works with us today. It is the same one who we pray to day by day. The only problem was now the king has a chance to pick on one person. And that person, of course, was Elisha. And so what we find is that the king sends his army, a whole gang, out to find this man, Elisha, who is in a place called Dothan. So now imagine you're all in the army and you're all heading down the road and there is Elisha. Elisha has a servant. And when they look out of their house, "Oh my goodness, you all look so scary. You're all staring at me. But you're not even got your chariots with you." And it tells us in the Bible, it says, "The servant of the man of God gets up early in the morning and he goes out and he sees horses and chariots surrounding the city where he is. And he says, 'Oh, what shall we do?'" Have you ever felt like that? "Oh my Lord, what shall I do?" Oh, you're cheating. You're cheating. "I'm wondering why you know what's going on. I thought you should not so well know. I didn't give you this, did I?" "Never mind. Okay. Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant had said. So I was wondering how you might react to that yourselves if you were surrounded by a problem. This guy goes into a panic. Anybody here ever been in a panic about any situation whatsoever? And we've got two people now in this story where we've got one in a panic. I wonder what Elisha would be doing. Calm. Praying. He says to his servant, "Don't be afraid." But. Have you ever heard God say that to you? "Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried, don't be concerned, I'm with you." And we go, but. No, is it just me? Then he says something very strange. He says, "Those who are with us are more than those out there." Hang on a minute. One, two. I make that two. And he looks out and he sees all this army around the camp. And how can that possibly be? Do you ever feel outnumbered in your situation, in the world? We look at Kettering and we look at the number of people that know God and we think, "Do you really want me to go out there and tell all that lot? There's a lot of them." But this man says, "There's more with us than with them." And so Elisha prays an amazing prayer. He says, "Open the eyes of my servant that he may see." And he does. He opens the eyes of his servant. He can see that there is actually an army of heavenly army there. It says, "The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." So now we've got a chance to sort them all out. They were surrounded by an enemy and they've been reminded that there's more with them than there were without. Friends, today know that there's more with you. God plus you is more than anything else in the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? But now there's an opportunity when you realize that God is with us. They've got a new perspective, even though they're surrounded. God is with them. What are they going to do? Are they going to beat them up? Are they going to sort them out? Well, the way the story unfolds is quite sneaky, unless you already know. Do they already know? As the story unfolds, what we find is that they meet these prophets, they come down the hillside and they say, do you know where Jane is? You are Jane, aren't you? Yeah. That's all right. I just got this, I should have gone over to Julie to be sure. Do you know where Jane is? And she very cleverly says, come with me and I'll show you. Sneaky. You see, these people come down and they meet Elisha and they say, we're looking for Elisha. And Elisha says, I'll take you to him. How did he get away with it? In between times, what he had prayed was he had prayed that those people that were after him would not be able to see. And because they couldn't see where they were going, and they were then very frightened, they meet this person and they're like, help us, we can't see. We're looking for this man, what's going on? And he doesn't admit who he is. And he takes them. So I will read it as Seth has found it for you. It says, verse 18, the enemy came down toward him. Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he did. Struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. And Elisha said, this is not the road and this is not the city that you're looking for. Follow me. You're looking for, sneaky, sneaky. And he led them to Samaria. And after they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened the eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. They'd been captured. Yay, God had won. Let's destroy the enemy. Well, is that the best solution to destroy the enemy? What would you do if you'd got your enemy just where you want him? Well, I'll read the story on. It says, when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them? But he sought counsel with a godly man, and the godly man said, no, that is not the way. Do not kill them. Would you kill men you have captured with your sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink. Hang on a minute. Give them a party? My enemies, you want me to give them a party? You want me to love them unconditionally? That's God's way, isn't it? God is a God of love, and he wants us to love the unlovely. And he says, let's give them a party. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And as a result of this, what happens? Is it up there already? You know the answer then. So he prepared feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Unconditional love shown in a difficult and a dangerous situation. How did this all come about? Because God with us is greater than any enemy that we can ever come across. If God is for us, even if we're a one, stuck in a trap or a prison or protected. I was amazed when I looked up on the internet, if God is for us, who can be against us? I was shocked and delighted with what it said. All I typed into Google was, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it says, this is a powerful declaration from the Bible, Romans 8:31, signifying that divine support makes an earthly opposition powerless, offering believers ultimate hope and confidence that nothing, not trials, persecution, or even death, can separate them from God's love and purpose. It's a rhetorical question emphasizing God's absolute backing and the assurance that his power overcomes all threats, encouraging faith in him rather than focusing on hardships. I was amazed. That was the first thing that came up from Google's AI telling me, if God be for us, who can be against us? How real is that to you folks this Christmas time? Taking away from this story this morning, I have a few P's for you. So if you have any peas at Christmas, maybe you'll remember them when you start eating them and they roll on the floor. The first P, was perspective. Elisha and the servant had two complete different perspectives on what they could see. Elisha saw everything from a godly point of view. He knew God was on his side. He knew God would never let him down. He knew, we talked about this the other week, maybe yes, maybe no, doesn't matter. God is with them and will provide everything that they need. He didn't panic. He prayed. There's two more P's for you, but my next one is going to be prayer, not panic. So don't panic. Pray. God will give you his perspective if you invite him in. Another P, pause. Pause if you're stuck. Get yourself in a bubble if you have to and say, God, get in my bubble with me and help me understand this situation. I need to pause because God's word, God is powerful to be able to speak into every situation. So get God's perspective as Elisha did, and he then explained that to his servant through prayer. And then he had power. He had power to be able to destroy his enemy. Oh, don't anyone here never think, I've got them now. Especially if you've been bullied and you think, that's it, I can sort them out now. Just one word and I can destroy them. It's not God's way. Even though he had power to destroy his enemy, to punish them, he didn't. Because mercy here is great and grace is free. And he offered them pardon. He offered them peace. And that's a challenge to each of us. We feel in prison, persecuted or protected, wrapped up in a chocolate wrapper this Christmas. Feel safe to take that wrapper off, knowing that God is with you. He promised never to leave you. He promised never to forsake you. We ask him to open our eyes and show us his perspective, knowing that he protects. There's no end, isn't there? The more I can't, all the words I'm saying begin with P. I didn't intend to say this many. It's the perspective, the prayer, the peace and the power that were coming to me this morning. But I know a lot more than that as I've stood here before you. If we put on the full armour of God, he has promised that no matter whether we feel isolated, whether we feel trapped, or whether we feel protected, it doesn't matter to God. He loves you just as you are, just where you are, and he will provide your every need. There was one hymn that kept coming to me as I was preparing this, and we're going to sing it in a moment. But before we do, I want to remind you of the armour of God that is available to each of us each day. Put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. That's what Elisha was able to do with God's perspective on his life, knowing that greater was he that was with him than anything in the world. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. How important is the God that we share? With the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, not power, the peace of God. In addition to all this, take up the trusting in his promises. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is so powerful. The truths in this book that we have in our hands freely to share. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This Christmas time, I pray, as you may feel surrounded by light or dark, you may feel surrounded by busyness or loneliness, you may feel surrounded by good things or isolated with nothing. God says, I know you, who you are, I know where you are,
and I'll be with you and provide your every need. Come, talk to me. Look into my word. Know the promises I have made to you and you can rely upon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. Father, many of us have situations and circumstances in our life that do look dark and dreary and difficult and perhaps even dangerous. And we lay them before you here in this place this morning, asking that you would give us your perspective, that we might know your peace. That even have your words to speak into the situations we find ourselves. We thank you that today we have another opportunity to gather in this place to worship and to sing carols and to reflect on your word as it was declared at Christmas time. When the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we pray, Lord, for each person that comes through the doors of this place today, that they might not just sing songs and hear your word, but they might encounter you and the reality and the truths declared before them. The babe of Bethlehem, the Christ of Calvary, came down to this earth that we might abide in his love and know him personally today and every day until we see him face to face. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on all that happens here and all of the members and friends of this church this Christmas time, that it might be a true blessed time where we may see the world through your eyes and share your love as you enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. For God is round about me, and can I be afraid, was I started in my head when I was preparing this talk and I couldn't find him anywhere. So again, I searched and it's this last one. And this hymn in itself means quite a lot to me. So just very quickly, I'll just tell you, there was a lady who I used to visit who had a brain tumour, and towards the end of life, she couldn't even speak. And yet this was her favourite. And when I said to her, in heavenly love abide, she said to me, no change my heart shall fear. And yet she couldn't speak, she couldn't talk, she couldn't converse, and yet this hymn, she had learnt what it really meant. And so we used to sing this, and as a result of that I learnt the words. She knew it better than I did. And that and the Lord's Prayer was all she could say at the end. And so of course we had this hymn at her funeral, so it does mean quite a lot to me also now. But these words are so special, so precious. And know this Christmas that God is round about you. So do not be afraid. Let's sing. Thanks.
Thank you.
I hear the sound of rustling in the leaves of the trees. The Spirit of the Lord has come down on the earth. The church that seemed in slumber has now risen from its knees, dry bones responding with fruits of new birth. This is a time for declaration. The word will go to all men everywhere. The church is here for healing of the nations. Behold, the day of Jesus drawing near. Around the world, the body waits expectantly. The promise of the Father is ready to fall. The watchmen on the tower all exhort us to prepare, and the church responds of people who will answer the call. This is not a phase that's passing, the start of an age that's to come. Where is the wise man and the scoffer? Before the face of Jesus, they are dumb. So a body, now prepared by God and ready for war. The prompting of the Spirit is our word of command. We rise a mighty army at the bidding of the Lord. The devils see and fear, for their time is at hand. And children of the Lord, hear our commission, that we should love and serve God as one. The Spirit won't be hindered by division in the perfect Jesus has begun. May our tongues be the pen of a ready writer, that what the Father gives us we may share, that we might be his breath, that we might glorify the King. Amen. Shall we share the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Can I just ask one question? Do you put your custard on your crumble or all around the edge? Let's have a vote. Custard on top of the crumble? Custard all around the edge? Well, you guys remember being handed then, I have ice cream like you.